You know, our mission has not changed since the Lord gave it in the first century. The reason it has not changed is because it has not changed what He said in this book. Because of what He said, we understand what our mission is. It is not my mission. It is not Josh's mission, or Dan's, or David's, or the elders, or the deacons. It is every child of God. And that mission has not changed over the years. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus would say to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I love how the Greek renders it literally in the Greek, especially Mark chapter 16 and 15. The implication is, as you are going. Sometimes we think the reason it applies to only the missionaries is because they are the one that is going. They're the ones that are going. But it really applies to every Christian, and that application is to go and to make disciples. That is, those who would learn of Christ, those that would follow Christ, and those that would wear His name. As we are going, we are to make disciples. Like I said, I love what Mark says. When Mark says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I love this verse also because there's the command to go. Whether we are a teenager, whether we're a young adult or a middle age or a senior adult, the command is there. I do not read of it applying to only one class of the groups that I just mentioned at this moment. But rather, it is a command of every child of God. Have you ever thought how it would be if we really and truly got serious about this command? And if every one of us felt the impact of this command, I mean every one of us, from the youngest Christian are the teenagers, to the young adults, to the adults, and to those that are seniors. I do not ever read in God's Word that there is a retirement age. And for that reason, it applies to every single person that we, as we are going, I love Acts 8 and verse 4 for that reason. They went everywhere preaching the word. You know, sometimes we think that applies only to the missionaries and only to those that are preachers and teachers, because it says go into all the world, and we play on that word preach. That must apply to only those that are elders and deacons, those who are preachers and teachers. I do not read of that in the Word of God. That command is a command that is given again to every child of God. That word preach really, in the Greek, means to make a proclamation, to herald the sound of the good news of Jesus Christ. And I cannot say that without saying what the Fijian saying says, it is the tukutukavanaka. That just sounds good. And that is, it is the good news of Jesus Christ. We are to go. Sometimes I think that we have reached the point where we think that if we will bring them in and entertain them, our job is done. God forbid that we think that way. The command is to go and to make a proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ to every person. It is every tribe. It is every tongue. It is every person on the face of this earth. And never forget that as we are going, many years ago, I said to Mary in Fiji, this is a new field for us, and we're going to have to make contacts. Wherever we go and whatever we do, we need to share the good news of Jesus Christ. To Dan and David, what I did last night was not a show for you. You two mean no more to me than the elders and deacons and preachers and the other members here at Palm Beach Lakes. That's just the way that I understand that as I am going to share some way, something with others that will help me to think. After David and Tracy dropped me back at the motel last night, I had something to happen that never happened to me, Josh, in all my life. I had a man of the Jewish persuasion behind the desk to say, would you pray for me? And I nearly said without thinking, right here? I mean, we're in a public gathering. There's somebody behind me that he needs to wait on, and he's saying, will you lead a prayer for me and especially my mother who's sick? Early in the day, Dan and I had met this young man. And so I just stopped and I said, let's pray together. He'd probably never heard that before. And we prayed. Last night, Brother Dan McLeod came. And believe me, he stood as far as from here to the other side of this podium area from me, but he had to come and see that it was really me who had come to Palm Beach Lakes. I think so, Dan. But also he had to bring a gift from Luann, a special concoction of healthy blended fruit for me. Before I came down, the young man behind the desk had spoken to Dan McLeod. He is not going to forget the Church of Christ. And he knows where you meet and the times that you are meet. As you are going, you won't believe it, the opportunities that will come. Sometimes they will be big. Sometimes they will be number one. Sometimes they'll overpower you and they will obey the gospel. And because of you and what you do to that one, they will do to many others. But sometimes, maybe something small. But God will take it and make it big. I would say to you this morning that we are to go. And as we are going, that we are to share our love of Jesus Christ and His Word and His church with others. Yes, even in a public gathering, there is a way to do it. But why do we need to do that? Number one, because it is important to the Lord. It's important to the Lord that every single child of God in the body of Christ, every member of the body of Christ here at Palm Beach Lakes, every member is going to be involved. You know, it's amazing how you can be involved and the different ways that you can be involved. And as you are going, it is important to the Lord that you share that good news. You know, about 40 years after Pentecost, Paul would write Colossians 1 in verse 23, and he will say that the gospel has been heard by every person under heaven. Wow, that floors me. That's your wow for today, okay? That is your wow for today. You and I have been really wired today. We've been wired up, ready to go for the Lord. That the Lord wants us to go and to share His good news with others. Think about it. 40 years, they did it. You know, I think we have done it again and again and again. We've done that. And we haven't really said to ourselves, I've heard so many negative sermons challenging brethren, and it's good to challenge your brethren. We all need challenging. But challenging the brethren because they have not done that. Brethren, have you ever thought about just stopped? And if we begin to go through the audience this morning and we were to say, tell us some good works you know about. Do you know they would just simply astound you? This morning I woke up about 4 o'clock in the morning, excited about today, and excited about the opportunity. And I began to think about all the good works. Think about all the good works because of Mission Sunday. And on a weekly basis, because of you that is done at Palm Beach Lake and as you are going, think about it. But not only think about that, sometimes we are so small in our thinking. We need to lift up our eyes and look at the fields. They're God's fields. And as we lift up our eyes and we look at the fields, have you ever stopped and just counted all that is being done by every congregation of the churches of Christ throughout the world? It's overpowering. It is overwhelming. I mean, think about all the faithful, dedicated churches of Christ in America and all around the world and all that they are doing. Don't tell me we've not taken the gospel to the whole world. But we cannot let it stop with us. Again, in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 14, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. He's not talking about the end of the world. He's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. In about 50 years from the day of Pentecost to the destruction of Jerusalem, again, the gospel would be preached into all the world. You know what it really amounts to? It really amounts to each one of us doing all we can. Did you really do all you could this morning in your giving? Not for my benefit, but for the benefit of the church at Palm Beach Lakes and the benefit of missions all over the world, worldwide. Think about other congregations And certainly I cannot say that without thinking about Forest Park. You know, I thought someday Forest Park, because many members are moving out of that area into the newer suburban areas, maybe it will affect what Forest Park does. We used to be around 450. Now we do good to break 100. But you know what? Their mission work has not been reduced at all. Now, that one I know personally. And think about all over the brotherhood. Have you ever thought about all the good works that are being done all across the brotherhood? Peter will write in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. How thankful are you for that? You know, you could be headed to a devil's hell and to spend eternity in hell with the devil and his angels. Am I right? I mean, you could be headed that direction. But because you're a child of God, you're not. What a marvelous light we walk in. That our sins may be cleansed on a daily basis. If we walk in the light as he's in the light. And we have fellowship one with another. Yes, it is important. It is important to the Lord. Number two, it is important for your spiritual soul. It's important for your spiritual soul. Somebody says, that doesn't depend. All it depends on it is me going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and my ticket's punched to heaven. Forget it. That's not true. That's the devil's gospel. That's the devil's message. I appreciate Brother David really encouraging you to come back tonight. I have a question. Why did he do that? Got a good heart, first of all, doesn't he? You know that better than me. Why did he do that? You mean there's any difference? Look around. Turn your heads and look around. Go ahead and twist your heads around. Go ahead and twist it. You're just like this, like a stiff-necked Jew. Everybody twist your heads around and look. Now, will we have this crowd tonight? Now, I know that some can't drive at night because they are aged. I hope it's not because you're retired. I understand those that are aged. And I understand those that are sick and afflicted. I love Sister Judy, and she's always been like a real sister to me. And I heard her throughout the time before I came to the podium this morning. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves sometimes. Some of the reasons, or some of the excuses, are more like it in most cases. Why we're not back. We ought to be ashamed. In 1 Corinthians 9, in verse 16 and 17, Paul would say, there is a necessity laid upon me to preach the gospel. Again, don't think that applies to just the preachers. That word preach means a proclamation. He didn't single out just the preachers. He said, there is a necessity laid upon me. He says, if I do it willingly, I have a reward. Have you ever thought about that the Lord has entrusted our sharing the good news of His gospel with others. Wherever we go and whatever we do, we're to share that good news of His gospel. Have you ever thought about He's entrusted it to you? Every single Christian. Every single Christian. And it's necessary that we do it. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, Paul would write to Timothy, and take heed to yourself and the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you'll save yourself and those who hear you. And those who hear you. You know, we need to share the good news of Jesus Christ, because it is important for our own soul. The Lord has entrusted it to us. It is necessary that we do it. And we need to do it willingly, that we would have a reward. Many times I wake up during the night, not worried, not concerned, but thinking about gathering around the throne of God on that great judgment day. And as I envision that and giving it thought, I have in my heart a desire to hear these words: well done, you know. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, it is important that we go and that we make a proclamation of the gospel wherever we go and whatever we do. How many of us do that on a daily basis? Daily in the temple. And from house to house, they did not stop doing that. Acts 2:42. Notice that Paul would say to Timothy that we will save ourselves. But I believe that it depends on our attitude. It depends on an attitude that we have. Isn't it a matter of attitude? Some of us need an attitude adjustment. And don't wait till the day of judgment to get it either. We do need an adjustment of our attitude. Save yourselves from having this attitude. I want to serve. I want to serve the Lord. I want to be involved in the lives of others. I need to be serious about this idea of sharing the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ with others. I need to bring others in touch with eternity. You know, the way we save ourselves is by having a good attitude. And having the attitude and a mindset that it is important for our own soul salvation. It is also important for the souls of others. For the souls of others. You know, we never know the good that we will do in eternity until all is said and done. Just a kind word, just a smile, just a word. You need to come visit the Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ. It's a great place to be. And you'll be loved in so many ways that you can't but help but love being with the Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ. It is important for the souls of others. In Mark 8 and verse 36, Jesus said, "For what shall it profit a man, a person, if he gains all the world and loses his own soul?" I've often thought about, what if I had never met Mary? That'd be the biggest disaster of my life. What if I had never gone to church services with her? She wasn't a member of the Church of Christ either. But through the influence of her sister, she was going some. And the some became more regular when we started going. But if she had never invited me, and I'm going to use a name, you don't know him from no one in the earth, on the earth. If Brother H.P. Dodd had not said, "Robert, could we sit down together and just look at God's Word and how beautiful it is?" I was ready to have a fight with him. And he killed that right up front. He said, "Can we just sit down and look at God's Word and what it says for us?" He didn't say me. It was for me, but for us. You don't know him. And he does not mean anything at all to you. But for all these years, I have tried my best to serve the Lord by his grace and mercy and love. I owe to that man. And that very big, tall old man said to Mary and I, just a year or two before he passed from this life, I said to him, "Brother Dodd, what can I do to repay you for introducing me to the church that Jesus built?" And tears dropped from his cheeks, and he said, "What you've been doing, you and Mary, all these years." In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires that all men be saved," all people, "and to come to the knowledge of the truth." How are they going to do that if we don't share the Word with them? If we do not share the good news of Jesus Christ with them, how in the world are they going to do that? So you see, it's important, not only for our own souls, but for the souls of others. I love what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 28 and verse 29, but especially verse 28. "And how that he would say, 'Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.'" That word rest means like a real rest, a permanent, everlasting rest. You see, Jesus gives an invitation through you and through me, that we would share his good news with others. He is calling them through you and me. And you know, they are crying for help. I think about this so much, that there are others crying for help. They're begging for help. They're crying. Sometimes they don't even really realize it themselves. You know what we need to think about is this. We need to think about, how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? How can they do it? How can they know who to trust if they have never heard of the one that they can trust? And how can they hear How can they hear if no one tells them? I would venture to say that the young man that we spoke to at the motel where I'm staying had never heard of the Church of Christ before. I do not think he probably have ever heard of Jesus Christ very much at all. Now he knows who he can trust. The beginning of it. I want to encourage you to reach out with others with all your heart. And as you are going some way, as you're coming in contact with others, share with them by word or a smile an invitation to who they can trust. If you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ, if you've never put the Lord on in baptism, if you believe that He's the Son of God, you're willing to repent of your sins, to turn away from them, turn to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, confess His name, make that commitment to Him, you can be buried with Christ in baptism this morning. To walk in the newness of life and then begin your journey of going and telling others who you trust in and who they can trust in. Telling you, listen carefully, there are so many in the world that do not know who to trust in. And how can they know if we never tell them? If you're here this morning and you're a child of God and you have retired, come out of retirement. Come out of retirement and get back to work for Jesus Christ. If you need to repent and rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, the Heavenly Father, will you not do it while together we stand and sing?